You know, what I realize is this is my 169th teleseminar in 2 years.
Oh, my
wow.
Isn't that hilarious? We number all of our teleseminars, and it just hit me. That's a big number.
Yeah.
All right. Well, welcome, everybody, to the call. My name is Kim Addis, and most of you already know me. And for those of you who are new, double welcome. We're happy to have you on the call and kind of participate in our teleseminar methodology and discussion. A lot of teleseminars are very, you could call them a one-way conversation. In this case, we don't do it that way. It's very much a participatory, everybody gets involved kind of call. So for that purpose, we ask you to pay attention to your background noise because we do not mute you out. We have you fully engaged. And the more that you participate, the more you get out of it. And that's just the way it goes. It's got to be fun. It's got to be a conversation, a dialogue. So please, please jump in. So before we get into this very interesting topic of holiday stress, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to actually take out a piece of paper and do a couple minutes of journaling. Now, while we are focused on the holidays, it's not necessary that you only focus on the holidays when I ask you to journal about this question. It could be really related to anything. So is everybody ready to journal for a couple of minutes? I'm literally going to time a couple of minutes on the clock. And so the first question, really, it's a two-part question and then the next question, okay? The first question is, what stresses you out and why? And then if we are talking about the holidays, or whatever it is that you're thinking about in terms of stress, think about your holiday memories or the memories you have as a kid with respect to that subject, and I want you to use 5 words to discuss that particular issue. So if you're talking about Christmas, I want you to think about 5 words to describe your memories as a kid of Christmas. If you're talking about money, I want you to use 5 words to describe your memories as a child about money in your family. If you're talking about relationships, you know, my husband's stressing me out, I want you to identify 5 words that describe your memories as a child of perhaps your parents' relationships or what you imagine to be in terms of what you expected a relationship to be like. So is everyone with me?
Yes.
What stresses you out and why? And then 5 words to describe your memories. Everybody there? Any questions? Okay, you got 2 minutes. Go for it. Someone new just joined us, and what we are doing right now is we are journaling. So pick up a piece of paper and a pen, and here is the journaling question. What stresses you out and why? And then pick 5 words to describe your memories associated with that thing. So if it's Christmas that stresses you out, pick 5 words to describe your memories as a child of Christmas. Again, for whoever's just jumping on at the last minute, everybody is journaling right now. The question is to journal what stresses you out and why, and then pick 5 words to describe your childhood memories of that thing. So if it's Christmas, describe your childhood memories of Christmas. If it's relationships or finance, describe your childhood memories of that. Oh, boy. I can't keep up with the beats today. welcome everyone to the call. We are just journaling right now, taking 2 minutes to journal. And the journaling questions are what stresses you out and why, and then I'm looking for 5 words to describe your childhood memories associated with that thing that stresses you out. If we're talking about the holidays, remember what it was like when you were young. If we're talking about money or finances or jobs, remember what it was like when you were young and what the conversations were like at home. What are 5 words that describe your memories as a child?
Hey, Kim and Dave, what's the mute function again? Star 6?
Star 6 is the mute function.
I might be on mute for a couple minutes.
All right. So, who wants to start by sharing what they've written?
Don't everybody jump in at once.
Who said that?
Grace.
So, Grace, you can go ahead.
Okay. Well, I hate to bring attention to myself because I'm just don't seem that I am that kind of person, but I do get stressed out because I think I try to please everybody, and I'm torn between children and husband. At this point, I am in my 70s, so there's no parents to worry about, but my husband is very high maintenance, and he does not travel well. He has bad legs, but he denies his problems, but expects me to be here like at all times. So I really cannot go visit my children, which are from a previous marriage, because he really resents it, and yet my children want me to come visit them on occasion, which I don't think is out of the question, but they live far away. So I would have to travel to North Carolina, which everybody resents. At your age, you're going to go down there by yourself, but yet nobody will go with me that is here or that I want to spend time with. So I am torn with that. That's that problem, that stress problem. Now the next one, you said, what was your childhood like?
What was your childhood memory of perhaps the holidays?
Well,
what did you write down?
That was so long ago, and we really didn't have the Christmas hype that goes on now. I was raised in a Mennonite family, so we had a tree if we were lucky, and we just cut that down from outside and put on things that we found, like ribbons and paper and things. So we really didn't have that activity that I see that other people have and that people have now.
But did you write five words?
Five words. And I have written down, write five words for Christmas. I guess it was quiet. Because we just had toys. And it was with family, that's for sure, because we certainly didn't go anywhere.
Keep going. I just need five words.
And we played outside.
What was the feeling associated with all that?
The family? Well, I had a lot of cousins, and we'd play outside like dodgeball and that kind of things when we got together, which would have been at the holiday.
So was the memory warm, or was it stressed or tense?
It was warm. It was warmer with the children, but it was tense with my mother and my grandmother.
Okay, tell me a little bit about that one.
My mother was divorced, and she had to get married with me, and I lived with my mother's mother, so that was a little bit of a problem, and because it was I consider it to be my fault, you know, and although it wasn't, I know that now, but back then it was, oh man, everybody felt sorry because everybody felt sorry for my cousin whose dad was in the war, and they felt sorry because she didn't have a father. And she lived with us for a while, but I didn't have a father either, but nobody even noticed that.
Okay, so tell me about the tension between your mom and your grandmother.
Well, there was no tension between those two because my mother was totally dominated by her mother.
Okay.
I mean, I think she had to repay for what terrible thing she did.
Okay, so your mom was dominated by her mother, and so, and she just, what, she succumbed to that?
Oh, yes, very much.
Okay, great.
She had to pay the price for you know, so she became actually a servant to her mom and took care of her mom until she died, and that was the duty.
Okay. You're such a great candidate, so thank you for stepping up. I appreciate that very much. And anybody who has any thoughts or comments, please jump in. But to me, there's a very interesting thing, and you're quite self-aware, so I'll give you some credit for that. You know, when we started off, you said the stress is being torn between, you know, my family members, right? So that's where the stress comes from.
Yes.
My husband's very kind of high maintenance. He expects me to be there with him. He resents when I go away. And I want to go away. I want to be with my kids. I want to be with my husband at the same time, and there's this tension. And when we go back to you, to your youth, do you see a parallel in any way?
Well,
as you're describing your mother.
Oh, maybe my mother had the same thing.
Well, your mother had to please others. Yes?
Yes. Oh,
right.
Yes.
So you're your mother in a more modern-day circumstance. Do you see that?
Yes.
So here's a really quick question for you, and, I mean, I didn't expect this to happen. You almost kind of gave it to me, but what would you tell your mother? What would you have liked to tell your mother when she was at the mercy of her mother? What would you have liked to tell her?
Get married.
Get married.
And
what would you have liked to say?
I wanted to tell her, can't you get a male friend and get us a home of our own?
But what you're really saying is, we need to get out of here, right? You're saying you need to somehow find some degree of independence. Is that what you're trying to really say? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Probably.
Yeah. And what you're saying is, you're at the mercy of, yes?
Yes.
Yes. And do you see that in a big, huge way, you're in the same boat, just, again, different circumstances. You're also at the mercy of the whims, the feelings, the resentments, the pulls and the pushes, the expectations of others. Do you see that?
Oh, you're so depressing.
I'm not
depressing. I don't want that to happen to me.
Well, it's already happened. The cool thing is you can turn the tide right now. Right? You can completely turn the tide. Now, before we go on, and I will come back to you because you've given me a lot to work with. Does anyone have any comments? Carla, I'd love to get your questions or your input or anybody else. Does everybody see the relationship here? Grace is really playing out in a way the role her mother played out, and her mother, you know, may have done that for her whole life. And right now, Grace is a little bit she has an opportunity, a moment of opportunity, where she can perhaps make a little bit of a change or do things a little bit differently. Does anyone have any thoughts or comments on that before I ask for another person to share?
Yeah, Kim, it's Carla. I followed the same thread and saw same parallel. And I think it's interesting how we repeat cycles in our life that we're familiar with. And the power is right now that exactly what you said, that she has a choice to change that, to break the cycle.
Right. And by the way, Grace, we'll talk a lot more about how you do that. So don't worry, I'm not just leaving you alone quite yet, okay?
That's what I'm saying. I don't want a divorce.
You don't have to get divorced. You don't have to get divorced. You don't have to get divorced.
He gets mad.
Yeah. That's okay. We'll talk a little bit about that.
I had something, Kim, that kind of came up when I was listening to Grace's story, is that it wasn't her grandmother. It was her mother's mother.
Yep.
Yes.
Well, her mother's mother is her grandmother.
I understand that, but that's not what she said. It's just that the intimacy wording around that I thought was just kind of interesting.
Yep. Very interesting. A little bit removed.
Yes.
Yeah, very interesting. Anybody else on the call have any questions or thoughts or reflections for Norma? Does it hit you guys in any particular way? Norma's story might be a little bit different than ours, but do you in any shape or form go, oh, my God, that's really, really interesting? Anybody? Okay, so what I want to do now is hear from someone else who's willing to share.
Well, this is Norma.
Okay.
That was Grace. So the holidays for me are stressful because of feeling the pressure of expectations. And that is growing up in a family where everything had to be perfect. Appearances were really important, and so that was one of my five words, was appearances, tension.
Hold on. Tell me a little bit. So is it just that? Everything had to be perfect? So what's the stress right now? Because you're talking about your youth. Tell me about right now what's stressful for you.
Okay, right now is, and I was getting ready to go into the five words, because based on that was disappointment. And what I find now is that I struggle with feeling disappointment about the season, in that it's not a happy time of year for me.
Okay. So now give me your five words.
Okay. Tension, appearances, presence, money, disappointment.
Tension, appearances, presence?
Uh-huh.
Like gifts?
Uh-huh.
Tension, appearances, presence. Give me the other two.
Money. Disappointment.
So tell me about this disappointment thing. What is it that you're disappointed with exactly?
Well, and that's what I had written about, that it's really not about, the disappointment isn't about the gifts, although that was part of the feeling growing up, was the disappointment that I sensed that other people felt when I gave them their gifts, that it wasn't good enough, that I hadn't spent enough money, that it wasn't the perfect present.
Okay.
And so now, though, I'm not really concerned about that piece of it. My disappointment is in that the hype that gets built up so many times about the holiday season and, you know, everything that you see on television of the family get-togethers, that everybody's laughing and having such a good time, I didn't experience that. And I find it difficult to, in my present stage of my life, to really fully enjoy what's happening. You know,
so your life doesn't look like the pictures or the commercials?
Exactly.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Beautiful. Awesome. And again, you know, when we look at those five words, your memories, what it is you have a lot of disjointed experiences about your past, right, about the holiday season as you reflect upon it when it was. And there's a disconnect because you saw the tension, you saw the appearances, you saw the disappointment over the gifts you gave, and you said, I don't want that. And so in a big, huge way, you said, okay, I don't want to be part of this. And so there's a resistance when Christmas comes around. Yes?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, resistance. Okay, perfect. One more person who is willing to share, and then we'll talk a whole lot more about this. One more person.
I'd like to say something. This is
Perfect.
Dolores.
What's your name?
Dolores.
Dolores.
I wanted to first say that I, after listening to the first story, I think it was Grace, I kind of did the same, like, analyzing on mine, but what would stress me out right now is just having things undone, you know, starting things and not having time or being able to finish them, or, like, having ideas of, like, gift ideas or things to do and just not the time or resources to act on them. And the five words to describe some of my memories were, for some reason, I always correlate the holidays with, like, a warm house. My mom's house was always really warm, and just we always were, like, in pajamas. Of course, our last-minute store runs, which were kind of fun, though. That was, like, just some time for my mom and my sisters to just be together, but at the same time, they're very stressful. Music and up all night Christmas Eve wrapping gifts. So
isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So what you've done is you've actually recreated your past by not having time.
Right.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
And let me ask you a question. Do you think you live up to your mother's, the warmth that she created in her house?
Oh, I'd like to think that I do, but I don't... in a lot of ways, and this is to kind of comment on what Grace was saying too, is I've decided to break that cycle, and I'm actually from Wisconsin, so I've moved clear across the country in order to try to do, I don't want to see things my way, but, you know, maybe to my standards instead of my mother's. So
you had to move across the country to do it. And yet it's still haunting you.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, how interesting. And so what you're really saying right there is that I can move to another planet and it'll still haunt me. And so my physical distance, maybe it helps a little, but it's still with me. And so we'll talk a lot about that. And that's beautiful, actually, because you're 100% right. It's not always physical distance that makes the difference. It's what we're doing in our heads that makes the difference.
Okay.
So before I kind of launch in, does anyone else have anything to add? Okay. So let's talk about stress. Okay. So what creates stress and where does it come from? So you guys all have touched upon this, every single one of you that has shared. And really, stress comes from an expectation of how things should be. And here's the key, is that idea of how things should be, whether it's, you know, from the television or from, you know, what my husband or my children want or from my memories from my past, that comes from a set of beliefs that you have adopted from somewhere out there. And in all three cases, you can see how they have been adopted, right? It's exactly that. And here's the interesting thing when we talk about adopting beliefs. Some of them we like, and are good for us, and some of us we have taken on unconsciously, regardless of whether or not they're good for us or we even agree with them, right? And what happens is they're in our system, like part of our DNA. Exactly as Dolores described. I'm across the country and still I struggle with this stuff. Still this is what creates stress for me, you know, even though I've removed myself. So, and what we're really talking about now is identifying the beliefs that you have. You can't just remove your beliefs from your system by moving away. They follow you wherever you go. So that's really funny to me. Okay, so let's continue. So, and what's happening is, where does this disappointment or stress or tension or lack of feeling happy over the holidays come from? It's really about a misalignment from feeling like we have to live up to those expectations. So when Norma spoke, she said, you know, I watch TV, and that's not how my life went. And so I have this misalignment. I think, well, perhaps I should have lived that way. I want to live that way. That looks good to me, but that's not reality. And so I reject it. I turn off. I get frustrated and maybe even a little angry when I see that and feel that disconnection. Norma, I'm speaking for you, but you can pipe up and agree or disagree.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
And it was maybe not so much from TV, but from my mother's perspective.
Tell me more about that.
Well, and this was something I grew up with most all of my life, was appearances. What would anybody else think? The way I was dressed.
Right.
Know? And so it spilled over into all areas of my life that your appearances meant everything.
Right. Well, and here it is. It still carries with you, and it gets heightened at this time of year.
Yes.
Okay, so, and here's the real cool thing about holidays, is that a lot of the beliefs that you have just come to the surface, because it's an intense period of time where the light is shining on that period a lot broader and bigger. Okay, so what you're doing is, what you're experiencing is that misalignment. And sometimes the misalignment comes from feeling like we have to live up to expectations, right? And sometimes those expectations come from other people, and sometimes those expectations have come from what we grew up with and those firmly lodged beliefs about the way things would be. And sometimes, really, maybe we'd just rather be doing something else. And interestingly enough, it sounds like, Dolores, maybe you would rather be doing something else, and you're still grappling with it even though you're somewhere far away.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, and what is this all about? It's really about this feeling of a personal shortcoming. I'm not living up to it, right? In the case of Grace, I'm not satisfying my husband, I'm not satisfying my kids, and ultimately I'm not satisfied. You know, I can't win. I'm in a lose situation. Right? And so on and so forth. And in the case of Norma, well, you know, I don't even know what to do with the holidays. What are they supposed to be? And on and on and on. It's not the picture of what, you know, my mom thought it should be. It's not the picture of what it looks like on television. It's not like what everybody talks about. It's really even not that happy. Right? So now what? Right? So this huge disconnect and the feeling of being outside of this experience. Yes, Norma?
Yes.
Yes, okay. And so here it is. We have these voices that float around inside of us, right? And some of them are voices of our parents, and some of them are voices of our husbands, and a lot of them are our own back-of-the-head voices that tell us what it would mean for it to be a perfect experience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we imagine in our minds this vision where we picture this situation or circumstance. And here's what happens when the actual outcome doesn't match that vision: we have disappointment or stress. And that can happen before, during, and after the event, right? Because as it's unfolding, and Dolores describes it perfectly, you know, there's this time crunch. That's not how it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to feel like this. And what was really interesting was we even had fun at this stressful time.
Yeah.
But it was really stressful. What if you could just have fun and not have the stress?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
What if you could capture and even bottle up that memory and recreate it minus the stress?
Mm-hmm.
That would be interesting. And what is it wrapped up in? Like, this whole idea, this whole bow is wrapped up in this need to please. Often we see that over and over and over again. We need to look a certain way. We need to measure up with appearances. We need to please our husband and our children, and we need to lay it out a certain way. And if we're not doing that effectively, we move far so we don't have to deal with the criticism or the self-reflection of having that shortcoming. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. So why do the holidays heighten stress? And here it is. And you can write this down. Holidays induce stress because of our inherent need to feel acceptance, approval, and love. We have those needs all the time, but over the holidays, they get accentuated, they get heightened. Okay, so what happens? In some ways, the holidays are a time to take stock of how much you're loved and accepted. Right? It's like, okay, when holidays come, I get to measure how much love I'm receiving, how important I am in the world, and how accepted I am, and how well I do, right? And what's happening over Christmas is there are a whole bunch of items that take place that provide us with tangible evidence that tell us where we score on the scale of love and acceptance. Right? So, you know, I've written some ideas down. You know, if your mother-in-law likes your turkey, then you're loved and accepted. If your family pitches in and helps with the decorations and the preparations, you're loved and accepted. If you're invited to a lot of holiday parties, you're loved and accepted. If you get a whole bunch of gifts that you like, you're loved and accepted. If people like the gifts you got them, you're loved and accepted. If they don't like your gifts, well, you just lost a few points. If you don't get many gifts, you lost a few more points. If you aren't invited to many parties, then you've lost even more points. If you're stuck doing all the work on your own, you're tired, and now you're resentful too. If your mother-in-law doesn't like your turkey, you're screwed. And here's what's worse. If you hate making turkey, but you do it anyways, and she still doesn't like it, then you're screwed and pissed off. Right?
That's really right.
Yeah. And you know what? The holidays haven't even started yet, and we've already worked ourselves up. You know, we're already at that crescendo where we're anticipating this outcome. We're tired even before it begins. And before I continue, any thoughts, any comments, any reflections? Is this hitting anybody in any substantive way?
Boy, it's really hitting me.
Okay. Anyone else?
I'm almost in tears.
Oh.
You gave me a lot of food for thought.
Well, I haven't even, I mean, now let's try to get you out of this mess, right?
Now, Kim, this is Ann. I used to go in the bathroom and hide and cry on Christmas Day after I left home and had a family. It was so horrible.
Wow.
Everything you mentioned.
My sister and I would have wine coolers stored up into her room, and we'd go upstairs to her room and have one and chill out, and then we'd go back downstairs and resume our activities.
There you go. And really, what are you doing? And by the way, it's funny, I thought of that too. It's like you're sedating yourself, so you don't feel it all.
Yeah.
Right? So, guys, start writing this stuff down. Try to understand what kind of control you have over this situation and how to turn the tide, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here are the four words I want you to write down, and whoever's been ever on a teleseminar with me before, you always write these four words down. Let's do it again. Thoughts, beliefs, expectations, results. So here's something really, really important. The thoughts that I think over and over and over again form the beliefs that I have. And so when my mother told me, well, we got to look a certain way, even though I reject it and I resent it and it pisses me off, somewhere in the back of my mind I think, I got to look a certain way. Whether I like it or not, it's lodged deeply inside of me, right? And so the beliefs that I have form the expectations I have, and it forms the way I interact with my environment and the people. It forms the basis for the action I take. That's why I spend so much time making such a good turkey, even though I know it's useless. Still spend that time doing it. And that's what gets me the results that I get. Okay? So here it is. The way I feel is a function of the way I think, not a function of what others expect of me. Write that down. The way
Wait a minute. Say it again.
The way I feel is a function of the way I think. Not a function of what others expect of me. So, let's just play with the turkey story for a minute. You know, you're slaving over a hot stove, you're making the turkey, the mother-in-law says, you know, it's okay, I would make it with this sauce instead of that sauce, or whatever it is that they do. And what happens is right away, your mind starts going. Where does it go? It goes to, oh my God, she's not even grateful, do you know how hard I work, and what's the point, and oh poor me, or what a bitch. Right? And so your mind is working at a feverish pitch to make sense of this. And what you're doing is you're fueling and you're infusing her opinion with a lot of validity and weight. And in fact, what you're doing is you're handing over your well-being, your good feeling to her and her opinion. And really try to understand that what she thinks about your turkey has absolutely no relevance to the way you feel. The only thing that has a relevance to the way you feel is the story you tell about what she thinks. And that story has to do with you and how it reflects you and where you score on the scale of love and acceptance and approval. And so when she doesn't like your turkey, inside you, you've done a quick evaluation, you've gone down a notch, and you rebel about that new score. And if you can for 1 minute separate it and say that's her opinion and has absolutely nothing to do with the way I feel about me, I feel about me a certain way because of the way I think about me, and she can feel how she wants. I like my turkey. Right? And so what we're trying to do is teach you to separate the events or the circumstances or even the expectations of the events from your experience. So something happens and you instantly tell a story about it. And that story you tell determines how you feel. So, Norma, you've told a story about Christmas. What's the story about Christmas? Christmas is tense. It's focused on appearances. One of the things that you mentioned was the hype of the season, so that it, there's a fakeness. The word hype instantly makes me think, well, it's, you know, it's a hype. It's not really real. Yes?
Right.
And so that's your expectation. That's your belief. Let me ask you a question. Would it be good to believe something else about Christmas for you?
Oh, absolutely, and I've worked at that for years.
Okay. And what if the hype didn't bother you? What if the hype didn't trigger that feeling of, oh, God, there's the hype again?
Oh, it'd feel light.
Light, exactly. So understand something. It's not the hype that causes you that heavy, yucky feeling. It's your thought about what you're seeing that's causing it. So you can write this down. The idea is that if you have a thought, let's just take the thought as, oh, there's the hype again, and it's false, and it's fake, and it's not true. What's a slightly better feeling? What's a slightly better thought than that feeling right there? Norma, take a stab at it.
It's what I make it out to be, and it's really about how I react with my own family today. And I don't take it as seriously.
Okay. So what's the thought? Like, think about the words that form a thought that are better than, you know, there's all the hype. There's all the tension coming our way. There's that, I'm bracing myself for that.
In that it truly can be joyful.
It can be. And maybe that's a stretch for you. So what's something that's a little bit more easy or tangible or realistic for you to grab onto?
Peaceful.
Okay. It's time off.
Pardon?
Yes?
I'm sorry. I didn't understand.
So you can look at it as though it's time off. It's time for me to kind of rest a bit.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. So it doesn't even have to be that joyful, but it, you know, I can certainly take it on as a little bit of downtime.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So now we've let go of the resentment. Do you see that?
Yes.
Okay, now you're actually having, you turned your dial away from tuning into the hype, and now you're tuning into the possibility of a little rest, a little peace, a little downtime.
Mm-hmm.
You can go from there to being joyful, but I don't want you to go there just yet. Why not?
That's too stretch, too far to stretch.
Yes, too far to stretch. Because you're going to say, yeah, I thought it might be joyful, but there it goes again.
Mm.
Another disappointing holiday.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? But if you go to the place where, okay, so this is just going to be downtime, the possibility of you opening up to joy is greater
okay.
than it is from starting at the place of, hype and bracing yourself for disappointment. Does that make sense to you?
It does.
Okay.
Thank you.
So a lot of people kind of like get ready for the holidays with this bracing concept, right? They brace themselves. They brace themselves to see it as an opportunity to drink a lot. They brace themselves for the opportunity to hibernate or close down, shut down, perhaps feel sorry for themselves, right? They brace themselves for the stress and the tension associated with different family members pulling them in different ways and on and on and on. And here's what I'm suggesting to you to start bracing yourself for something else. Bracing yourself for the opportunity to change your thinking as you're encountering the same old stuff. As it's coming your way, notice that it's there and say, I can think about it in a way that makes me feel bad or tense, or I can think about it in a way that makes me feel just a little bit better. So think about it in terms of Christmas is my opportunity to change my thinking so that I can feel just a little bit differently. I want to just tune in with Grace. How are you doing, Grace?
I'm doing good.
Okay. How are you feeling? Depressed
I'm
still?
I'm feeling good. I'm good.
Well, let's talk for a minute about all of the different things that are pulling you in different directions. So your husband might get angry that you want to spend time with your kids. And so play it out for me. How does he express his anger?
Oh, why don't you go down there and live? Or, oh, yeah, he's very vengeful.
And he's really good
to me when things are going exactly the way he's an alpha male. And when things are the way he expects them, it's fine. But if I step out of the line and he just...
So you're walking on eggshells.
Now he's not violent, but you know he's verbally pretty bad.
Okay. So and you're walking on eggshells quite a bit.
Yeah, not as bad now as it used to be, as he has become more dependent on me. He's a lot better, but you know he's not. He is dependent on me without wanting to recognize that fact. And I'm thinking if he would just say, hey, I really need you, it would help. But it would make me feel better about that.
Okay. So let's pause for a minute. If he would just say X, then I would feel better. So who are your feelings dependent on?
On his acceptance, I guess, from what you say.
On his actions, on his behaviors. And the truth of the matter is your feelings are dependent on your thinking. So if he says the right thing, you feel better. If he says the wrong thing, you feel worse.
That's
right?
True.
If he says, why don't you just go live down there, what goes on in your mind? You think, oh, my God, he's at it again, or I better stay back.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What if you
thought
about it a little differently?
Or maybe I will.
What if you thought about it a little differently? He's not really being serious. He's just venting.
Yeah.
I can give him some space to vent and move on with my life. Just because he's venting doesn't mean I have to acquiesce. I can let him vent. I don't have to tune into that. I don't have to take it all that seriously. And the way that I feel is not dependent on his mood or his happiness or if all the elements and stars are lined up perfectly for him. My mood is dependent on me. Do you see that?
Yes.
This is a huge idea. Because many, many husbands and wives have that experience where if their husband isn't quite giving them what they need, the wives aren't really that happy. Right? And they're waiting for the husband to say the right thing, do the right thing, behave in the right way, touch them the right way, take out the laundry or the garbage the right way, whatever it is that they're waiting for. If they would only do this, then I would be happy. And what I want you to start to understand that your happiness has nothing to do with what anybody else does or thinks. It has nothing to do with the circumstances. Your happiness has everything to do with your own mindset, with your own thinking. so that when he is, let's say, flying off the handle, you could say, oh, my God, I better not make a move. Or you could say, okay, he's flying off the handle again. It'll pass. He'll get over it.
It does.
Right. And I'm still going to go see my kids because that's important to me. Right?
Yes.
Okay. So how do you lower your holiday stress? Now you guys need to write all these steps down. Ready?
Oh, okay.
Okay. Step number one, what I want you to do is really to start to identify, and you can, you know, write them down in a list, all the expectations that you have and the expectations that you think others have of you. Okay, so that's step one. What are the expectations? For Dolores, it's getting certain things done on time. Right? Those are the expectations. You have certain expectations. And as I say, there are certain things that need to be done on time, some of you will say, well, yeah, you know, Christmas is on the 25th. That's the, like, drop-dead deadline. Well, what if you could have your Christmas on the 27th? So, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. But first, write down all of the expectations that you have and the expectations that you think others have of you. Then the next thing to do is write down your beliefs associated with those expectations. So the belief is, I can't move Christmas. I can't change it up. I can't make it accommodate me a little bit better. Right? That's your belief. Now, you may decide to buy into that belief. No, it's really, really important for me to have Christmas on the 25th. Or, you know what? It's not really that important. Here's what's important to me. Okay, so I want you to identify the beliefs that go along with your expectations. And then I want you to play something out. What would happen if you didn't live up to those expectations that you think you need to live up to? What would happen if you didn't celebrate Christmas on the 25th? What would happen? Would it be a horrible, terrible, awful thing? Could you live with it? And the moment that you start to stretch your mind and explore the possibility of not adhering to that expectation is the moment that your mind and your experience of Christmas or whatever that stressful situation is has just opened up. Because now you're able to create. Okay, so first, identify the expectations. Second, write down the beliefs. And play around with the idea of not living up to those expectations. The next thing that you want to do is now start to sort and sift. And the word that comes up is choose. Choose the expectations you want to keep and get rid of the ones that have that are there, that you've adopted kind of inadvertently, and that just run you down.
Kind of set your priorities?
Yes. For me, Grace, and this is just me, I have 5 kids. For me, my kids play a big role in my life. That would be a priority. Do I need to see them on Christmas exactly? Maybe not. Maybe I can see them on the 26th. But I wouldn't give it up. Do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to decide what's really important and challenge your beliefs. Well, I have to be here for him, for my husband on the 24th because, say, well, is that really true? Where did that idea come from? Why do I believe that? What would happen if I wasn't here on that specific day? Because I really want to be somewhere else, right? And so you're stretching your beliefs. You're challenging them. And then you're identifying what it is that really means something to you. So, Norma, maybe Christmas can mean a tightening of the family. So without the hype, here's what it looks like. Right?
Okay.
Okay, so, and what you're really doing right now is deciding what the holidays really mean to you, and then you get to create and define how you want to express that. So how do you want to spend your time, and what traditions, perhaps, from your childhood do you want to keep? Right, like I have traditions with my kids. Every year we go to the Gans Factory. The Gans Factory, they sell stuffed animals and gift items. It's a tradition. We go every single year. The Gans Factory, it's our tradition. We love it. It's something we want to keep. Right. And what does it actually mean? Is it about buying stuff? No, it's about hanging out in this cool, interesting place where we get to sort through neat and interesting items on a shelf that are at a severely discounted price. It's fun. It's fun. And so as Dolores, you were describing, you know, the midnight rush, right, before Christmas, maybe that's part of it. How do you turn that into something fun instead of something stressful? How do you turn it into a party? How do you actually put it in your calendar and say, okay, between 10 and 12, I'm going to be wrapping gifts. In fact, I'm going to invite 3 friends over to do it with me because that's part of what I do every year. Now it's something that you own. Now it's something that you implemented. It's something that you can share too. Right? The moment that you implement and share it, what is it? What has it become? Dolores?
Fun.
Yeah, fun not tense and something that is by design instead of you know, that you've taken on from God knows where land, right?
It's like mountains of be like a wrapping party.
Right. How fun could that be?
Yeah.
Right? And here's the thing. You might look back at all of those expectations and identify certain traditions that you've had as a kid that you want to reignite and re-implement into your life. Right? So, Norma, you might say, you know what? Christmas Eve is going to be all about dressing up. We're going to look as great as we can look on this one day of the year. You know, in honor of my mother. You could do that. Or you could say, you know what? I'm going to turn Christmas Eve into a masquerade party, and everybody has to come in costume.
Mm-hmm.
You can do anything you want, anyhow you want. And it's the feeling associated with that event that matters. And you get to define it, decide it, describe it, implement it, share it, do whatever you want with it. Or you could say, I don't want to do anything. I just want to read books. That's what my holiday is going to be about. It's going to be calm, peaceful, relaxing. Boom. That's what my holiday is about. It's downtime for me. So you get to decide. And that's what helps you to eliminate that degree of stress. So before I continue, because I do really want to share with you about this new course that we're creating with Dave, that's all about handling stress, not just Christmas stress or holiday stress, but stress all around. You know, stress at work, stress with your children, stress with those different expectations, stress of perhaps not making enough money, stress of the tensions with your spouse, all kinds of stress. That's what we're going to be talking about. Before we do that, does anyone have any thoughts, comments, questions? Was this information useful?
Yes,
I think it was wonderful.
Has anybody, is anybody on the line who hasn't yet spoken up? Love to get your thoughts, your comments.
Kim, this is Nicole.
The information's
very useful, and I can see how it can fit in situations that aren't just surrounding the holidays.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, the basic principle is, what creates stress? It's the expectation of something going wrong,
mm-hmm.
right? It's the expectation of the event not measuring up or not matching our picture of how it should be. That word should becomes critical, right? And in the case of holidays, it's just highlighted and accentuated.
Absolutely.
But it's the same thing, right? It's literally we play out the scene so that it turns out badly. That creates stress for us. So, Dave, tell us a little bit about the course that's starting and when it's starting and all that stuff, if you're still on the call.
Yeah, I'm still on the call. The one thing that does come up for me, which I thought was interesting, was a comment someone else had made earlier, I'm not sure if it was Dolores or Norma, that one of the questions in thinking about stress and moving yourself forward using your journal or getting coached, especially after a call like this, is after hearing the information, is it a relief or is it a burden knowing, you know, what you think is really driving a lot of where you are? or exactly where you are. So is it a relief or a burden? And that'll help put you into some sort of place on the line of spectrum of where how quickly you're going to move forward through this and give yourself a baseline, which I think is a really good thing to come to coaching or in a coaching session. If we're going to do this coaching course early next month about that, is knowing where your baseline is to start out with. So well, I think one key question is it a relief or is it a burden knowing this information? So I just wanted to kind of throw that out there.
Okay, so the course is starting at the beginning of January. We don't have the exact date yet. It just depends on everybody's ideal date. And
yeah, I think we planted a flag somewhere in the first or second week. Amy,
okay.
I think Amy has the potential date.
Okay, and how it works is it's 10 weeks of coaching. There's a call once a week for 10 weeks. Dave is leading it, and just so you know, Dave is one of our most revered coaches at Frame of Mind Coaching, and what's magical about Dave is that he is warm, hilariously funny, but also really kind of can see through people's stuff so that he gets to a real honest place very, very fast, and he can just call it. He has very, very strong instincts. So people who coach with him want to keep coaching with him, and they love him, and they don't want to coach with anybody else. So Dave is up for that group. I strongly recommend that you look into it. And here's the thing, is that when we look at stress and we look at the circumstances in our lives that cause or trigger stress for us, what we'll also see is that those situations repeat themselves over and over and over again in different costumes until once and for all we sift through them and change the direction that we're used to being in.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of people on the call sort of can draw some conclusions and some lines back to these repeating kind of habits. And it is accentuated, like you said, during the holiday time. I think it's the perfect time right after the holiday season to start to sift through that stuff. A lot of it's garbage, right? And a lot of it is stuff that just needs to get out and get cleansed. So that's a great time for it.
So how do they sign up for the course? Do they send you an email, Dave? Is that the best
way
to do it?
Yeah, right now, until Amy and I solidify some more marketing emails, it'll go out to the site. If they want to send me an email Dave@frameofmindcoaching.com. You can send an email to Kim, too. She'll get it to me, no worries. But we're both on the site. You can send it to Carla. If Carla's your contact, that's fine. And we'll just start discussing what it's going to be, what it's going to look like. I tend to do private orientation calls, which is always a good thing for me. It's a great thing for the client. And we'll kind of piece this together over the next 2 weeks and formulate the actual date that it's going to start.
And if you want just to find out whether or not it's a good fit for you and discuss your personal situation or circumstance, I know that Dave does that all the time before coaching begins. So please reach out to him and see whether or not this is the right fit for you. So it's Dave@frameofmindcoaching.com. Does anyone have any thoughts, comments, questions, anything to add about the course or about the content that we talked about or about the holidays?
Well, I can definitely say that I won't try to tackle everything at once because I know for me, as Dave mentioned, it's a lot to kind of sift through right now. Certainly think I'm capable, but I think I will pick out a few things and kind of sort through which I think and prioritize which would be most important to me and to kind of help lower some of my holiday stress. So definitely.
That's good. That's great.
That's fantastic. Anybody else? Okay. Well,
awesome.
I'd love to get some feedback. If anyone's interested in throwing me an email, I'd love to hear from you. It's Kim@frameofmindcoaching.com. And if you want more information about the course starting in January, please reach out to Dave. We will be sending out an audio of this teleseminar with some information on the course, so please be on the lookout for that. And doing more teleseminars in January, look for number 170. And until then, have the most amazing, awesome, incredible holiday season ever.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.